Hey guys, welcome back. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us one more time. Thanks for hitting the download button. I'm Pastor Dave. Sitting with me, Randall the Armor Bearer. We are
They That Believe.
This is where church culture meets pop culture. We talk entertainment news, world news, current events, geek news, all filtered through a lens of lifestyle Christianity. I've had a house full of people for nearly a week. My in-laws have been in town. Did I mention that they were coming? I don't know that I did before we were here before.
I don't think so, yeah. It's kind of a surprise. They all just popped up.
It's been a good visit. It's, you know, they say house guests like fish. They stink after 3 days. Mm-hmm. That really has not been the case. I mean, that's a good joke. It's been a little much because we've had, man, how many people? Well, there's five of us total. Five adults. Ellie, Gretchen's sister, showed up with her two kids, one of whom is not quite 2 years old, and the other's four. Then her brother's been here, and my mother-in-law has been here, and it's been good. I mean, it's a good visit. It's just when you she's been out for school for what am I trying to say, fall break. Mm-hmm. And of course I have to go to work, so getting up going in at midnight and coming in, creeping around in the morning, and it's been a little change in the routine. Kids, you know, getting a little rowdy and mm-hmm. stuff, and you know, but it's been all right. It's been a good visit.
When I was a kid, we always had people stay at my mom and dad's house. We always had some extra person there.
Always.
Like, my grandpa stayed with us for 11 years, but we had one summer where we had 15 people in the house.
No, I can't do that.
Yeah, I got a tent. I slept out back in a tent.
That's not even really having visitors. That's people that have moved in.
Yeah, well, yeah. My mom's sister and brother-in-law moved to Knoxville, and while they were getting set up and stuff, them and all their kids and grandkids stayed with us for the whole summer. So it was fun times.
Did everybody get along okay? Or, you know, usually getting close quarters like that, people tripping over each other, starting to get mad, little arguments, stuff.
Yeah, it's really funny because my dad is one of those that bottles up everything until he just, like, blows.
That's me. I get it.
Yep. So, like, he had every week he'd have one just huge blow up, and then it'd be the rest of the week apologizing for when he blew up the last time.
Mm. Well, it's been good, and it's good to see them. Well, you know, and I'm glad to have them here and come see where we live, and they were able to go to church and attend our services and stuff, so not complaining at all. Mm-hmm. I hope nobody hears that. And you know, it might even have been a little easier, a little better experience for me, you know, if I was on a more normal or routine kind of work schedule and stuff. But yeah, it's been good, and you never know. Well, they might show up on something here very shortly.
Yeah, good.
So more about that later. I need to check on you today. I'm worried about you. There is a there's an ailment that's creeping across the nation, and an epidemic of sorts. I need to make sure that you're doing okay. You're feeling well. Election stress disorder. Have you heard of this?
No, but I can imagine the little snowflakes that invented it.
Do you feel like it's a thing, man. It's a thing. Do you feel like you're experiencing it? Well, let me talk about it some to make sure. You may have it, you may not know, you know. Like high blood pressure or, you know, something.
Chlamydia.
You would know if you have that, don't you?
I don't know. I've never had it.
No. So if you don't know, if you wouldn't know if you had it, how would you know that you never?
Well, you always hear those people that are like, I didn't know I had it.
From what I know, I may be thinking of something else, but from what I know about that, if I'm thinking of the right thing, that's one of those that there's no question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the symptoms are near agonizing. So, okay. The American Psychological Association in August. The AMA included a question in its annual Stress in America survey. They do this every year, Stress in America, about this election. They released the results last week, found that more than half of U.S. adults, regardless of their party, felt very or somewhat stressed by the election. The election causing anxiety in more than half the country's population puts it in line with other major life stressors. So they're putting it right up there with the economy, money, and work. That's according to Lynn Bufka. She is with the APA, the Executive Director for Policy. What do you think about this thing?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, I can see it. But really, do you think that the president, whoever they elect, is going to have that much of an impact on you personally? That you need to stress out about it?
Probably not.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I mean, I wouldn't think that if Trump or Hillary or Johnson get elected, that Rutherford, Tennessee is going to change.
You know, I've said that. I have taken that line of thought more in the past than recently. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not one of these people like, you know, oh, if this one gets in, you know, it's going to ruin the country if this one gets in. However, I have a little more concerns. And again, not going back to earlier conversation, not as much about the policies of an individual or the character of one individual, him versus her, more again that cultural needle mm-hmm. that we've been talking about, in the election of judges or appointment of judges and things like that. So yeah. I think I'm going to go just a little bit toward mm-hmm. that direction and say, I think there is more at stake, mm-hmm. Especially when you're. If you're concerned about, you know, religious liberty and, moral relativism and things like that, there's a point, again, when the needle goes far enough that we kind of have to start moving it back. But anyway, not surprisingly, mm-hmm. those who are more likely to experience election stress disorder.
Here we go.
Those who use social media. Thank you. They say the election's bumming them out. One of the challenges being active in social media is, according to Miss Lynn Bufka, I said Miss Lynn, it could be a man. Anyway, Lynn Bufka says being active in social media is a stressor because it's always there.
Yeah, it seems like they came up with some way to filter that out now. Like filter, I think it said Trump or Hillary, if you wanted to.
You would think. Mm-hmm. Problem is, who manages and runs Facebook, and they have... they're selective mm-hmm. about what they choose to promote and censor. Now, you know, I'm not going to go into this. It's not a freedom of speech issue. It's none of that kind of mess because, you know, Facebook is a privately owned company and Zuckerberg can do whatever he wants to do with it. Mm-hmm. And people use it for free.
Right.
So, you know, when I see friends complaining when their posts get censored or, you know, mm-hmm. they start talking about Zuckerberg, you know, being a leftist and trying to, you know, yeah. I don't know if it's true or not. It doesn't really matter if it's true or not.
I don't think he cares really what gets, I mean, as long as people move the needle on his website, I think that's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah. But in any event, it's of no consequence because it's his, mm-hmm. he owns it. And you use it for free.
Right.
So whether or not those complaints are valid doesn't really matter to me. I don't kind of, if Zuckerberg don't want me posting something on Facebook, that's kind of his business. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have to be happy about it, but entitlement culture, you mm-hmm. know, right? And everything is a First Amendment issue.
Yeah.
You know, and we've probably talked about that here before. Every time you see somebody get in trouble over something. Mm-hmm. First Amendment, First Amendment, First Amendment. And all the First Amendment does, well, not all that it does. That sounds like I'm minimizing it. It's very big.
It was the first amendment.
It's very important, but, you know, it does protect speech. And what that means is, you know, the government can't come and arrest you for dissidents or
right.
for saying something against the president or Congress or whatever.
Unless you threaten them, then they come and tear you up.
Well, yeah, you're threatening violence. That's a different story, but... voicing of opinions. But of course, what we see all the time, and of course, you know, it's bad in my profession. A lot of police careers have been tanked by social media. Mm-hmm. We all have to be we all should be very careful, but I mean, not from my personal experience, but speaking from observational experience.
Yeah, I've seen that too with the teachers that they put stuff up there. Yeah.
And then when that happens, you know, somebody voices an opinion and their boss takes issue with it or the community or whoever, their customers, everybody starts screaming about First Amendment, First Amendment. First Amendment has no application. It's not relevant to that discussion. Unless that person then is arrested mm-hmm. by the government
right.
for saying an opinion, you can say, you're free to say whatever you want. Just because you can say a thing doesn't mean you should say a thing.
Yeah.
And if you say something that casts a poor light on you and your agency, your business, mm-hmm. whatever, you know, your boss. I mean, I can get on there and I could say anything about my boss or, again, having a government job. I could get on there and start talking about, you know, my mayor or mm-hmm. promoting or campaigning for another person for a city position, any of that kind. And guess what? I'm free to do that.
Right.
The government is not going to come and arrest me. However, I probably would expect to be out of a job pretty soon.
Right, because it just protects you from legality. It doesn't protect your job.
Free speech does not mean speech without consequences.
Right.
And that's what people want. They want speech without consequences, unless it's the other guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a minute, because I got a story for you today, buddy, that's going to knock you on your rear end.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
How many times did you say knock it off during it?
During what?
During the story. How many times did you say just knock it off?
It's a story that I wasn't involved in.
Oh, okay.
Thankfully, when I tell you, I'm glad. I had another friend who had to play mediator in it, and we'll get into all that. So, Bufka says, the social niceties seem to slip away when we're online. Right? Shocking. Mm-hmm. We might be bolder or blunter if it's more readily misinterpreted. I urge people, walk away from it. It's okay not to be plugged in all the time. Now, who else have you heard say this? Me.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break from it.
You should be the leader of the American Psychological Association.
Yeah, I should. I know about psychology.
Yeah.
Tell people what to do. And what? Here's my book. Here's my essay in the journal. It's called Knock It Off. Knock It Off.
Knock It Off.
Now, who do you think of these the half of American citizens who are reporting experiencing election stress disorder? What demographic do you think might be experiencing it the most?
You think it's the snowflake demographic?
I know because I have the report, but I'm asking you.
I think it's the snowflake demographic.
Which would be, to put some parameters on that.
Probably like college kids to mid to late 20s.
Mm-hmm. Millennials.
Yeah.
That is number two, the second group most affected. There's a demographic other than them that is the most affected. Seniors.
Really?
I know, right? That really kind of floored me. It says close to 6 out of 10 people over 71 said they were stressed by this election.
Well, I guess because they're on fixed income and they kind of depend on Social Security to make things work. And
older adults typically report lower stress levels than younger generations. Now, see, that's why you wouldn't immediately go to them. You know, you can recognize that that's true. So it's particularly surprising, yes, it is, that the reverse is the case with this election. One possibility is that they're concerned about the future for their children and grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Another issues that are particularly important to older Americans, and you kind of touched on this, Social Security, Medicare, prescription costs. And those are things that we're not hearing much from the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so who knows, man? Here's the good news for people willing to address their election stress head on. There are real life skills to be harnessed. For instance, let me give you some skills.
Okay.
People can learn, because this may hit you.
Mm-hmm.
You may be experiencing this. You may not know it. It may hit you tomorrow. You may feel as the election day draws closer, because all we're going to do is see this ramp up. It's
telephone calls and commercials. And
it's gone full circus in the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, people can learn how to more effectively set boundaries in conversations. Again, who does that sound like? I've been talking about this for I don't know how long, but this idea about people online that you don't know, that's going to play into that story I'm going to tell you later. It costs somebody dearly, especially if it's a friend and you want to comment on something that they've had to say. That's cool. If there's somebody else in there that you don't know, don't get into something with them. I hate that. And I hate it when people that I don't know in a thread start coming after me. Dave needs to do his research. I don't know you. You know, don't talk to me like that, as if we're intimately acquainted.
What was I saw the other day? It was a college essay, and the kid, all of his citations were YouTube. It was some weird thing, but all of his citations were off of YouTube videos. I was like,
his footnotes were
all YouTube.
That's interesting. But, you know, videos come, I know stuff can stay on there for a long time. Videos come and go, though. You know, if somebody wanted to check his research, you know, you might go back, might not be there.
Right.
I mean, that's, Wikipedia, I guess. So, it is okay to tell people that you'd rather not talk about the election, change the subject. Problem with that is, you maybe have encountered this. You ever known some people that will not let it go, that won't get off of it?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's your right to vote, and you got to be an informed citizen. You got to know how to vote.
Yeah. Of course, they're willing. They're so gracious and willing to inform you.
Right, of course.
Let me do the informing for you. Mm-hmm. So
let me tell you how to vote, too, while I'm at it.
So, you know, you can tell people politely, and you might even tell them this, look, I'm so tired and exhausted with this election. I know everybody's stressed out. Can we not talk about it? You know, I might approach it that way. Yeah, I hear you. I know it's important. It's a big deal. But honestly, I'm fatigued. Mm-hmm. I'm really fatigued with it right now.
I've got election stress.
Yeah. I don't know, though. I don't know that I would go that I would tell people I had the disorder.
Mm-hmm. You think it's a quiet, like, suffer alone disorder?
I don't think that would. I don't know. If somebody told me that, if somebody said, look, I'd rather not talk about it, I suffer from election stress disorder. Well, I probably would stop talking about it. I'd probably stop talking to them completely.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have any more conversations. I'd roll my eyes and walk away. Or, if you can manage to keep your cool around a coworker with opposing political viewpoints, that, of course, could carry forward to other future interactions. And, you know, every conversation, you know, if you have a heated one that stresses you out and the coworker gets hot and worked up, that's going to set the tone, especially for people that you have to see regularly. If the 24-hour news cycle of claims and counterclaims from the candidates is causing you stress, here you go. Limit your media consumption. What gets me, this is all from the Washington Post. This is what I'm reading from. Yeah. I mean, does any of this sound especially insightful or... I mean, I could sum this article up in a couple of sentences. Mm. You know, social media has people stressed about the election. Take a break from it.
Right.
You know, take a break from the news. Mm-hmm. Like that lady we talked about that wrote the Dear Abby letter, you know, that it was causing her to get upset and depressing. And so turn it off. Mm-hmm. Get away from Facebook. But, I mean, some people can't. I really, you know, that even have a social media addiction. Do you know anybody like that?
Oh, yeah.
I kind of get it because there are times when, like, I'll go lay down in bed and, you know, I have to be up again in a few hours or something, and I should just roll over and go to sleep or at best maybe turn on something on television. But that phone is by the bed, and I'll keep picking it up, and I'll keep checking it. Mm-hmm. And I'll do another thing, too. Like, when I come home in the morning after work, or I'll try, like, before I come home, mm-hmm. not to comment on anything or something, because what do you do when you want to pick it up and see
right.
the traffic, uh-huh. who's commenting on your commenting, and I know when I do that, I'm like, okay, I'm getting off work and going to be home in bed in an hour, mm-hmm. and I will be wanting to pick up. It's a self mastery, mm-hmm. and it's something that we're lacking as a whole. Definitely self mastery, very, very important. Limit your media. Read just enough to stay informed. Turn off the news feed. Take a digital break. Take some time for yourself. Oh, I was just about to say this, and here it is in print. Go for a walk. Spend time with friends and family doing things that you enjoy. Gee, imagine that. Avoid getting into discussions about the election if you think they have the potential to escalate to conflict. If it's somebody that you know, even already maybe have a tenuous relationship with, mm-hmm. don't start. Don't go down that rabbit hole. I saw this happen a couple of weeks ago. We were hanging around work, and there were several of us there, and political discussion started, and I don't remember what the context was. There was something that sparked it up, and there was no arguing. We were all generally in agreement, but there's one of our friends, our coworkers, who kind of drifted away from the group. He's walking around. He's doing other things. He's milling about, but he never spoke. He never said anything. And his wife was there, and she kind of choked. She said, he doesn't like political talk at all. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that he disagreed or that he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to get his stress levels up or even listen to it.
Yeah.
And I get it. I dig that. Mm-hmm. I wish we could do more of that. And I know people say, well, you need to stay informed. We need to debate. We need to talk. We need to. I think maybe we're doing too much.
Yeah. I mean, how informed do you really want to be about these people? I mean, because it seems like we are super informed about each side.
Oh, yeah. From stuff 11 and 17 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything you need to know about them. Mm-hmm. And it's all on tape, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that terrifying? I want you to think for a minute. Think about somebody producing a tape, a recording of something you said 11 years ago.
Right.
And broadcasting it all over social media and the internet in a 24-hour news cycle. Mm-hmm. That's terrifying to me.
Yeah, me too. I mean, because, you
when
know.
I start doing the math and I go, what was I doing 11? Oh, my.
I think everybody has been young and stupid. And luckily, I was at the cusp of being young and stupid when they didn't have all this stuff, you know, to videotape and social media and all that stuff. So most of it's not recorded.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, I think it may be in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, especially like our kids, the constant surveillance, the constant recording. I mean, I don't know that you can get away from it or eventually.
Well, I mean, you think about now, Facebook says, you know, your memories 5 years ago or whatever. Well, you know, in 20 years, it's going to be. Here's your memories from 25 years ago, right. You know, on Facebook or whatever.
Facebook will only get older.
Yeah.
And as they get older, yeah, they'll be digging up more and more. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Stress and anxiety about what might happen is not productive. We know that. Mm-hmm. It's easy to say that. We know that. But channel your concerns to make a positive difference on issues that you care about. I like that. Consider volunteering. You know, people talk. And they have opinions, but people don't do much.
Right.
Interestingly, tonight we were, earlier this evening, I had attended a meeting, a conference kind of thing for church business. And our church was represented there, some folks from other churches in our area. And the guy who's our district superintendent, you know, we have a structure in our church. All churches do, but we call our the guy that kind of is our handler for our area, our district superintendent. And he was talking about John Wesley, the founder of our church. And Wesley always had this thing that he would 3 points that he would focus on when he's conferencing with clergy. And it was, what are we teaching? How are we teaching? And what are we doing? Knowing our material, in this instance, the gospel, how we're instructing it, and then ultimately, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. And it makes me think of this because people are talking. There's a lot of talk, a lot of interaction, a lot of arguing online, back and forth. And that's the other thing, too. We're all immediately available to each other, relatively immediately available, and it goes on constantly.
And even to people that we don't really know, we're available. You know what I mean? Like somebody who you know from elementary school that you happen to be friends with somewhere on social media, you know, you're available to them just like you are to people down the street,
right?
You know, people that you actually know.
Yes, everybody online is in the same proximity, and so the conversation goes on constantly. It's not like, you know, you just would have a conversation when you see somebody, or God forbid, call them on the phone. Nobody wants to talk on the phone now anyway. So I like this idea of shut up and do something. If you're big on an issue, go out and do something. Volunteer. Mm-hmm. You know, you be the difference that you're waiting on. That's a good word. Mm-hmm. Advocating for an issue you support, joining a local group. Remember, in addition to the presidential election, there are state and local elections taking place in many parts of the country. Those provide more opportunities for civic involvement. And somebody told me once upon a time, all politics are local. And I would suggest that your local races oftentimes, well, you, like you're talking about, the further you get away from home, the less direct impact you may feel. Not that the presidential election is not impactful, but directly on your life, definitely be looking at local elections, you know, especially people who have oversight into the water that comes into your home and the electricity and the fire services and police services.
People that you know. I mean, like you think of a race in Rutherford, you know, most of the people that are running, we know, you know, we have an opinion on those people.
Yeah. And you can even, if you want to find out more or to tell them, to speak to them, you can speak to them personally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They'll come knocking on your door. They'll show up in the middle of the night, put a sign in your yard or whatever. Randall had one of our local political candidates who also, as a current office holder, showed up in his yard. You said something funny about it on Facebook, and I almost commented, and then I was like, you remember? Free speech is not speech without consequences. I'm like, hey, this person could very well be my next boss. So I chose to keep silent. Mm-hmm. I think the person probably would have appreciated the joke, maybe. I don't know. That person doesn't have much of a sense of humor, I don't think. But, okay, so here's...
Well, it's kind of funny. In local politics, you know, I was down getting my daughter's hair colored, And so I was in the beauty salon, and one of the people that are running for mayor is, you know, owns the beauty salon downtown. And she asked me to put a sign in my yard. And I was thinking, you know, I've known her forever, and I wouldn't mind, but how do you say no to that? I mean, if you didn't really want to, how do you say, tell someone, no, I don't think you need to put a sign in my yard, you know?
That's interesting. How play that out for me. What would you suggest? How would you navigate that? Let's assume hypothetically. In this instance, though, this was not the case.
No, no.
You like this person, mm-hmm. and are okay supporting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But hypothetically, play that out for me. What if it's the other guy?
Yeah.
Well, I just maybe kind of in my own mind answered my own question. Kind of depend on who it was, because I think if it was like a particular candidate, mm-hmm. you might be polite or might even make an excuse, but I think if it was another person, you might actually try to settle his hash a little bit. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Come over here, let me tell you how the cow ate the cabbage.
I don't want your ugly face on my yard.
So let me back up. Assuming it's not somebody that you don't care and would settle his hash, let's assume it's somebody that maybe you do care about their feelings or you want to be polite. What's the rap you give them on?
You say like you don't want to mow around it or it might mess up my yard. Or
I wouldn't buy that.
Yeah.
You'd have to come up with something better than that.
Let's see. Oh.
Or, you know, is honesty the best policy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, I appreciate you. I think you're great. I appreciate the job that you have done.
Mm-hmm.
I'd kind of like to go a different direction. I want to see this person get a chance. It's not because I don't like you. I think you're great. You know, could you do that maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's tough, though.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, yeah. When somebody comes and asks you,
mm-hmm.
I've very rarely have done the sign thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it twice that I can even remember.
See, I won't do it for president because, you know, people will judge you based on the sign that's in your yard, you know.
Well, not even that. What worries me is the vandalism and the, mm-hmm. We're to the point now where it will start a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you another area of life that I kind of think about this. They make a lot of novelty shirts and jewelry and things for police officers and their families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a policeman's wife.
Right.
You know, my daddy is super cop or
mm-hmm.
whatever. And I see those pop up in like my Facebook feed, you know, go buy this t-shirt now and all that kind of stuff. And I won't do it.
No, I wouldn't either.
I'm not going to send anybody in my family out and identify them as law enforcement because mm-hmm. law enforcement's a target. I appreciate the sentiment and that you want to be proud, but it's the same kind of thing. And it's sad. It's sad that you can't do that because that's even a step above what we're talking about because it will, you know. Maybe I'm being, I don't know, do you think I'm being a little alarmist or paranoid?
I had a guy that worked for me one time that had been, he was a retired police officer. I like to hire retired police officers because you don't really worry about them too much. But
right.
He had been on the job for 30 years, and he told me one time, he said he would not wear his uniform out of the building. He would change in the building to something else and
right.
walk out with
I've
it.
I've known people do that, yeah.
Because he was afraid of being, you know, in a grocery store in his uniform, people thinking that
yep.
he's on the job and,
yep.
you know,
yep.
doing something he's not supposed to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, at best, what it also will do sometimes is people, you know, if you're trying to go home or you're stopping somewhere else, and people, and it's not because they're bad, they don't understand,
mm-hmm.
Just people don't know any better, you know, they're going to come up and start bugging you and asking you questions or wanting
yeah.
people, you know, will flag you down for help or anything like that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's best case scenario. That's okay. In that instance, you're just inconvenienced for a few minutes, you stop and
right.
help somebody maybe. But I don't want to make my family
no
a target. And again, maybe
people are mean out there when it comes to police.
Yeah.
You know, it's never the people that are pro police are never the ones that have the problem. It's the ones that are anti police that are the ones that are out there that are going to be doing something crazy.
I would worry about their safety.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's better that people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I knew a career policeman, actually, he trained me a little bit. Heck of a guy. And one of the best natural born police officers I've ever met in my life. And when he would go out, when he would meet people, or if he went to a bar or was out with his wife, or she introduced him to people mm-hmm. at a gathering or a party, he would lie. about what he did. He would tell people he sold mobile homes.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That was his regular rap, because he didn't want all the follow-up questions,
right.
All the jokes, you know.
Everybody wants to hear your story. What's the worst that's ever happened?
Yep.
What's the funniest thing you've ever seen?
Yep.
Or,
you know, when you walk in a room and people, you know, throw up their arms and go, "Oh, don't take him to jail. Take." I wish people knew how much we hate that, because it's like, I want to go, that's so funny and original. I've never heard that before.
Working in retail, you know, for so long, when the thing doesn't scan and someone goes, "Oh, I guess it's free, huh?"
Yeah.
Every time I hear that, it's like, oh, gosh,
Same principle applies, yes.
And you can tell, like, when it happens to you, like me, I won't ever say that in my life, but when it happens, Lily's like ready for it. You can tell across the counter, she's like, "Oh, here it comes. Here it comes." He's going to say,
you know, and you're like, when the first guy said it,
maybe
the first two or three, but it's tired now.
Anyway,
so whatever happens November 8th, life will go on. Our political system, the three branches of government, mean that we can expect a significant degree of stability still immediately. I mean, the founders were smart enough to, I think, set up a pretty good a pretty good experiment, a good system that so far, I mean, we've had our ups and downs, we've had troubles and some near misses, but
still by far the best system, I think, that they've got out there as far as running the country.
Yeah. Yeah, we can still, even in a transition, even at the executive level, can still maintain a level of stability. And finally, one of the best things you can do, they suggest, is vote. In a democracy, your voice matters. If you're not going to accomplish anything, getting stressed out, arguing with other people, watching the news, you'll just feel better if you vote.
I wonder if the stress goes away after you vote or after the election. Because once you vote, you can't do anything else about
it. Here's what I said to somebody the other day, because they're all like, "I'll be glad when this election is over." Well, here's the truth. Regardless of who wins, we are in for the next 4 years. We will see whining and screaming unlike we have ever heard. The only question is which direction it's coming from, depending on who wins. But regardless, it's going to come.
Oh, and even the candidates, both of them that are up there, I mean, it's going to be the constant blame game on somebody, you know. Yeah.
So don't comfort yourself by thinking this is going to go away on November 8th. It's not.
Yeah.
We're going to be dealing with temper tantrums for 4 years, at least. At least. One thing here that they close with that I'm going to kind of diverge from, it says, make informed decisions and wear your "I voted" sticker with pride. Don't do that.
Don't take that thing
off.
You
look like a complete loser. I hate that. I hate that. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but if you knew what we thought about you or what we said.
Take your "I voted" sticker and put it on a tombstone somewhere and make people wonder, what?
And that's a good joke. Definitely. That's the way they've done it in Memphis for years. Well, let me tell you this story. So we have in our denominational system, I'm sure other people probably do too, we have certain institutions and sometimes related to higher education, sometimes related to ministry and outreach, and they function almost like businesses, sort of in form, although they are at heart, their ministry, their outreach, and they're supported by the church and largely by donations.
And they're not for profit. They're just
the only business part
of it is making sure they have enough money to run. And,
Exactly. There's an expression for that that's not, it's not coming to mind, but you've pretty much nailed it. So to keep that in mind as we move forward. So a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, got caught up. He was not like involved, or he was involved as a mediator. He was trying to put out a fire that started between a couple of folks. Now, one of the people involved in this was a minister who was associated with one of these nonprofit church supported institutions. Okay. And I'm not intentionally being vague, to be flat honest with you. I don't know. I don't know the people involved. I didn't hear the names. I don't know what institution it is. So I'm not changing the names to protect the innocent. Mm-hmm. I don't know the names, so, but it's not relevant to the story. So, yeah, one person involved is a clergy who's associated or involved with this particular institution of the church. The other person involved is a congregant, mm-hmm. a church member,
right.
Somebody among the fellowship. Okay, so it started in somewhere in a thread, mm-hmm. in a Facebook thread, and people started voicing opinions, and it got political, of course. And your clergy member, who's associated with this institution, mm-hmm. Leftist, and starts engaging in a lot of leftist propaganda and rant. The congregant who would then become involved is more right-leaning. Mm-hmm. They, and again, a couple of people that I don't think know each other. Mm-hmm. And what happens? One of them, the leftist clergy member, mm-hmm. starts attacking, and I don't know what they said, but I do know one example of what they said. I will say attacking, because I know at least one thing that was said later. And the congregant took issue with it. Like, it started as somebody else's thing. They became engaged with each other, and then ultimately what made this whole thing blow up, what I'm about to tell you the consequences of all this, was when then the clergy member went and made their own Facebook post. Hmm. And basically called this other person that they had been arguing with. And this is a member of clergy, dude. Here's an example of how not to do it, okay?
Yeah.
Heartless, corrupt, and a mean-spirited capitalist.
Wow.
And said something else. I don't know if it was in that comment or in another thread, that offensive things should be removed, and offensive comments and things that offend people should be removed. Now, here's what that clergy member who was associated with that institution did not know. Mm-hmm. The person that they were talking to, that they were calling heartless, corrupt, and a mean-spirited capitalist, had committed to giving an estate gift to that institution.
Whoa.
Guess how much that gift was going to be?
Several hundred thousand dollars.
Let me tell you how much this opinion, we talk about how mm-hmm. the internet gives everybody a voice, but it also leaves you with the fallacy that your opinion matters. Mm-hmm. Well, this opinion had a numeric value on it. That person had previously committed to giving this church institution $500,000.
So
those few words
mm-hmm.
on Facebook cost that institution $500,000.
Gosh.
Now, this is kind of where my clergy friend
mm-hmm.
was involved, because he was trying to be an arbiter. He sees all this happening
mm-hmm.
and he's personally acquainted with the donor
uh-huh.
and he's begging and pleading, no, don't do that, because you know, we care about this. You know, your gift will count. Don't let it be over this opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And, I told you earlier that person said, you know, things that all this offensive stuff should be removed.
Mm-hmm.
The donor's response was, my money, since I'm a heartless, corrupt, mean-spirited capitalist, I'll take my offensive money and I'll remove it. Wow. Slam
yeah.
dunk.
That's backup right there. That's having the stuff to back up mm-hmm. what you say.
That is the period on the end of the sentence. Mm-hmm. As Paul would say, we shook the dust off our sandals at him. Now, here's the good news. The donor removed the $500,000 estate gift from going to that institution, but put it elsewhere.
Oh.
So it was still gifted.
Mm-hmm.
It just went somewhere else. Now, my clergy friend, who's begging and pleading and trying to referee all this, then found a nice article or write-up about, you know, why clergy should not comment on social media, not voice opinions, and somebody else had even told him clergy shouldn't be political on Facebook at mm-hmm. all, and all this kind of stuff. So let me take a step back from this. I want to kind of know what you think. from both sides, clergy member who's making these comments, what's okay, what's not okay, how much leeway, and I guess this could be relative to any other profession, but within different parameters. But let's just, for this conversation, let's just talk about the church and clergy. What, if any, line is there? How much, if at all, clergy should be commenting? And I'm not talking about in the pulpit. Mm-hmm. Don't like politics in the pulpit.
No.
And I'm not talking about on their own podcast, because I'm here speaking generally into the ether and to you. People that want to listen can. People that don't want, I'm not attacking anybody. I'm not on Facebook going after people. Let's talk about that, and then we'll talk about the donor. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I've seen in the past a preacher that got in serious trouble over his Facebook usage and what he put on there. And I think the main thing is who you have as friends on your Facebook.
Who's your audience?
Right. If you just got other clergy on there, then, I mean, of course, they're going to understand if you've got an opinion on something. But if you've got your church members.
Won't. No, they won't. Everybody, just about, most 85 to 90% of the people I've unfriended or unfollowed in the last year have been clergy. So, but your point is well taken.
Yeah, I mean, as far as people that would have an effect on your immediate job, you know, if you put some craziness up there and you've got people that are in your church and over your, you know, committees and stuff, they can flat run you out of there.
Yeah.
Which has happened.
Or in this case, well, you say know your audience. In this case, this person really didn't know who they were talking to. It makes you wonder if they had known, would they? And I don't know the person making these comments. You know, some people are just bullheaded, and they're not gonna back off of it, even for, you know, knowing that their institution, their nonprofit that does all this good work, is about to receive $500,000 gift. And I'm telling you, man, well, you know this. There are some people that'll double down and go even harder.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know that that's this person. There is a part of me that hopes or thinks that if this clergy member knew who they were talking to, this big donor, that they would have dialed it back or been more polite. But I don't know. That may not be the case. And I don't know for a fact. I'm just assuming. I don't know for a fact that they didn't know who it was. I'm just assuming that they would not have acted like that.
You would hope. I mean, because those things usually run pretty thin anyway, those kind of
slim margins.
Right.
Yes, definitely.
$500,000 would be like huge to one of those people. I mean, it's not like it's, I've seen most of the committees and their budgets are like shoestrings, you know.
Well, and having an opinion or voicing political opinions on the internet too is at one level, but you rise to another level when you start calling people names, for lack of a better way to put it, that they're what was it, corrupt, I don't have it in front of me now, corrupt, heartless.
Right.
Heartless. You know, one believer should not talk to another brother like that anyway. Regardless if you're clergy, regardless if you got $500,000, we shouldn't be calling each other that anyway. So that's another level. You're insulting. That's what I was trying to say. You're just deliberately insulting somebody.
Well, I mean, it's one thing to disagree with somebody, but it's another thing to get to that level. I mean, I think anybody appreciates a little disagreement in their life, but to actually go out and take it to the next step, that's crazy.
So go to the other side. Let's put ourselves in the place of donor man with our $500,000 gift. That person, obviously, and now I'm not trying to be too critical, because there's not a person that does not understand what that person felt. I mean, I sort of kind of took a little satisfaction in going, you know, when he said, well, if my money offends you, I'm going to remove it. But is that the appropriate way to handle it? Nobody could deny that we don't understand the offense. If somebody in a position of authority at a place where you're about to donate money is insulting you, you're going to want to put your money somewhere else or withdraw it. How do you feel about that response?
Man, I'm good with it. I do the same thing.
Because some people in the thread were critical both ways. There were some people that said, well, you know, that his heart wasn't right if, you know, he's going to allow that personal offense to dictate where he gives his offerings. And
well, I mean, I can imagine imagine for yourself how long it took to create, to make $500,000, and how much work went into making that.
Even if they received it as an estate gift, or somebody did.
Yeah.
Somebody. Yeah. Somebody worked for it.
Somebody worked really hard for that money, and for someone to drag you down when you're trying to give it to them. I mean, I'm with
them. So we're going to give the donor, pretty much going to give them a pass.
Yeah, I'm with them completely.
And two, what was kind of the saving grace for me was that they took the money and they put it somewhere else.
Right.
So was their heart in the right place, the wrong place? It was just maybe it got moved to a different place.
Well, I mean, you can take that $500,000 too and be extremely evil with the guy. I mean, you could ruin his life with that. You know, I mean, if you really wanted to push it.
What do you mean?
I mean, he could have the guy fired and, you know, follow him around. And
well, here's my thing. Does he have to?
Yeah.
Or basically, has he already done that? I don't know these people. I don't know who these people are. Mm-hmm. All I know is the story. But I got to think again. I just mentioned earlier, we have handlers and we have people we report to. Mm-hmm. Don't you think the director or the district superintendent where these people live, or the director of this agency or somebody, mm-hmm. do you think there was a meeting?
Oh, I'm sure. But what I'm saying is they could have that guy, I mean, out in the rail if they wanted to with that kind of money. I don't know if he did or not, but yeah. They could really mess with his career.
But it's their First Amendment, Randall.
he could be for real selling trailers somewhere. Yeah, right.
So, yeah, I don't know. You know, it would be easy for me to climb up on a pulpit, if you will, mm-hmm. And go how bad this clergy person was for all this political stuff on Facebook. But, you know, I'm guilty of it at times, too. Mm-hmm. Not as much as others, really, out of necessity and good judgment, because of both my positions as clergy and as government employee. Mm-hmm. Those things I feel like I have to be more sensitive about.
Yeah.
And two, another thing, and a lot of this has been going on in the last couple of weeks. I wish people would knock this garbage off, too.
Knock it off.
If you're a Christian, you can't vote for this person. If you're a true Christian, you can't. I got people in my congregation that are probably going to vote every way you can see on the ballot, and probably some ways we hadn't even thought of. Mm-hmm. And they're smart people. Mm-hmm. And they're good people.
And they're informed. I mean, there's...
As far as I know, I don't know if they're informed or not. And it's not my job to inform them. They can either get informed on their own, the candidates can inform them. One thing I'm not going to do, and there are some candidates that I like, and there are some that I don't like, and there are some that concern me. However, another person's, especially my congregants, I'm talking about people in your fellowship, your fellow Christians, who make a decision to vote for this person or vote for that, I'm not going to call into question their character. Or, well, I thought you were a good person and you're going to vote for that dude. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I can't do that. Or at worst, this just makes my heart sink to question your, well, you're not a good Christian. You're not a true Christian. I had this conversation with somebody the other day, not related to church, but was going on about what a scumbag Donald Trump is, and sexual assault and all this stuff he said, and it's not just locker room talk and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. None of which is wrong. And, you know, even if you're going to vote for him, if you're going to be honest, you got to say he's a scumbag.
Yeah.
But I told her, I said, you know, all this pearl clutching and all this shock I've seen in the last couple of weeks, it seems reserved. It seems very selective. Uh-huh. I mean, the lady on the other side of the aisle, you know, her husband is a known rapist. I mean, is that in dispute?
No.
And at the same time, all this stuff was coming out. Now there's supposedly, and these are allegations, I don't know, there's somebody supposed to release video or stuff that Slick Willie went on sex tourism trips to violate underage girls and stuff.
You know what's crazy about that, though, is through all this, there's never been... Like, even when the original Clinton was president, there's never been any real video showing him doing anything crazy. You know what I mean?
That we've seen.
Well, that's what I mean. He's either really good at avoiding that, or he's got people that take care of that kind of stuff.
Lots of video of him lying about it. And look, I know unless you go, well, that's my candidate, and I like the Clintons. I said here in an earlier show, if Bill would run again, I'd probably vote for it.
Depends on what your definition of is.
You know, do you want, you know, this rapist or that rapist? I mean, yeah. But my whole thing was, again, if your character counts, yes, but if you're looking for a candidate that's going to win some kind of character contest, you're not going to be able to vote.
Yeah.
If you're concerned about sexual assault, if you're concerned about misogyny and rape, there's nobody to vote for. Mm-mm. And but all what I'm pushing down on is being selective about it. You've been going on and fainting and having a fit for 2 weeks over Donald Trump, and I'm like, your guy's a rapist. And you know what her response to me was? Well, he's not running for president. I'm like, are you kidding me?
You know what's so funny, though, is that there are, at the beginning of elections, at the beginning cycle of them, when everybody's throwing in their hat in the ring to vote, to run, there are generally 4 or 5 people on there that I would love to see as president who have that good character about them, that some of them are evangelicals. I mean, Mike Huckabee's run the past couple of times. I love him to death. I mean, I'd agree with everything he says, but I think as he's a generally good person.
I've warmed up to him a lot. There was something kind of goofy or off about him to me for the longest time. But I don't know. One thing that really annoys me is his Facebook feed is clickbait.
Yeah.
He has the worst clickbait on his Facebook page. This is the world we live in now, you know, is what concerns me. But then I see him on TV. I saw him playing with Phil Collins from Def Leppard. Not Phil Collins, Phil Collin.
Yeah.
And he had his bass guitar and he was playing Pour Some Sugar on Me. So it was like you know, shades of Slick Willie playing the saxophone, I guess, or
Arsenio Hall,
Barack playing basketball or whatever. But I mean, I'm not taking up for any of these people. I mean, it's indefensible. It's all indefensible. And that's what I said to her. I said, you're right, but And what she was mad about was having conversations with people who were excusing it. You know, she's a big feminist. And she's one of those people that if you give a woman a cross look, it's a sexual assault, the rape culture, all that hysteria.
Yeah.
But I'm like, all of a sudden it doesn't apply over here? She was mad because she was having conversations with people about the Donald Trump business. And, you know, people were giving them the, it's locker room talk, it's guys. And she's like, no. Sexual assault is not locker room talk. Our bodies and all that same stuff, but only over there. And I'm like, what? We do intellectual handstands to excuse our guy.
Right.
And can we just be honest? And I say, I'm going to vote for Hillary. Bill's a rapist, but that's the best choice I want. Or Donald Trump's a scumbag, but you know, he's the best hope we have. I'm going to vote for him.
But he's my scumbag.
He's a scumbag, but he's my scumbag. But don't be selective. Don't be, what I say, intellectually dishonest.
You know who I'm voting for?
Go ahead.
Gary Johnson.
Randall, that guy's not right.
He's independent, but wouldn't it be hilarious to see if he actually won, the look on his face?
No, he's not. I'm concerned about him.
I think it would just be so funny.
He's off, man. Something's.
Yeah. But I still think it'd be funny to see him.
It'd be funny.
Deer in headlights look.
It'd be funny. Yeah, people, look. A vote for him is a vote for somebody else. And if you want to be candid, I think a vote for him is probably a vote for Hillary.
Yeah.
But aside from all that, people, you know, don't tell us our vote doesn't count. It doesn't. He's not going to win. And all you're doing is making some statement that only you know about, that you can tell other, you can get on your high horse and tell other people about. And go, well, I voted third party because blah, blah, blah. I know the two-party system stinks. I get it. I wish we had other viable choices. He's not viable. Are throwing your vote away. I wish people can't tell me I'm throwing. Yes. You're throwing your vote away. Now, aside from that, it's kind of, and those are the same people that wear their I voted sticker.
Yeah.
Aside from that, now that guy is, I've heard a couple, he was on the Adam Carolla show and he sounded pretty lucid and put together there. Mm-hmm. But other places, and a majority of places I've heard, or he's, something is not right with him. I really am not trying to be funny. Mm-hmm. Something is funny with him. That's all I want to say about it. I don't know, but policies aside and character aside, all that kind of stuff, he's defective. So anyway, how much is your opinion worth? $500,000 sometimes. Oh man, we're running short on time. I wanted to talk about creepy clowns. I don't have time to get into that today.
Creepy clowns.
But I want to read you this one. This is just too good. It's a Dear Abby. It has nothing to do with anything we're talking about. I just saw it and it was too good. I was like, I got to get some mileage out of this. Listen to this lady. Dear Abby, I'm an animal lover. I have always, and I'm not, I don't know why I'm laughing. I'm an animal lover. I have always kept many different kinds of pets. My mother taught me to love and respect all animals. I have had, here's her pets that she's had, snakes, turtles, birds, and other exotics, as well as dogs and cats and rabbits. Like, that's normal, too. I've had dogs and cats and rabbits.
Rabbits.
Well, rabbits aren't really, I guess they're not exotic. And like, these snake people?
Yeah.
Like, these people that keep snakes, could you not? I mean.
Knock it off.
That's not, that is so. Those are people that want you to think something about them.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a lifestyle choice. It's not like a pet choice.
Exactly. it's a lifestyle, not a pet choice. Exactly. Yeah. Very well put, sir. So this lady says, when I see a dead animal in the road, it makes me so sad. I often cry. She cries over roadkill.
Did you? This is going to sound so bad. You ever watch the Tom Green?
Yeah.
Where he picked up the dead cat off the side of the road and brought it to the vet and was like, this is my cat.
I love Tom Green. I miss him, man.
Can you bring him back?
Well, this poor lady, when she sees roadkill, she cries and gets sad. And the thought of anyone hurting or killing one for fun makes me sick to my stomach. So here's her problem. This is why she's writing. Mm-hmm. My problem is a coworker who sits behind me. He's a hunter. How perfect is this?
Yeah.
How perfect.
Laurel and Hardy, it's the perfect setup.
I know. The stars have aligned. Mm-hmm. He's a hunter who often talks about killing animals, especially snakes and turtles. Now, look. There ain't no hunter in the world I know that goes on among friends and hunters about killing snakes and turtles.
That's not even hunting. That's just regular everyday business.
Why do you think he's going on about killing snakes and turtles?
Well, I mean, I'm not a hunter by any stretch. I don't agree with hunting. I'm just not. I don't like to get out
there. Let me reframe it. Let me reframe it. If the lady that works in front of you cries over roadkill and is in love with snakes and turtles, why might you be going on about killing snakes? And I think the guy's winding her up.
Yeah.
I think he's having a good time with it. It's impossible, but she doesn't seem to get it. It's like he talks about killing animals, especially snakes and turtles. Wink, wink.
She's probably got one of those signs up that says, I love snakes and turtles on her desk, and he just has to go with it every time.
She got a coexist bumper sticker, and the letters are made out of snakes and turtles. Says it's impossible to tune him out. I'm afraid to ask him to stop.
You might shoot her.
There's your snowflake. I'm afraid to actually speak. Moving desks is not an option.
Abby, could you come to my office and talk to him for me?
She says, I often escape to the bathroom when he starts up, but there has to be a better way. She has to escape.
She has to hide in the bathroom. My face hurts from laughing so
I can't. She says, I can't be seen crying at my desk when he talks like this because it's unprofessional. Just a guess. I'm going to guess she's been seen crying at her desk.
Probably just more than from him.
If you cry over roadkill, I'm going to bet she's been seen crying over her desk now. Oh, and she signs her letter, Snake Lover. I saw Snake Lover on their last tour. They rock. So, Abby, now, I've got to be honest with you. I think Abby's out of her tree. And if you ever read, another one that's good is Miss Manners.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Miss Manners talks to people and the way Dear Abby talks to people,
mm-hmm.
totally different.
Yep.
I think they should combine up, mm-hmm. like when the write in letters, there should be two responses, like a dual column, one from Dear Abby and one from Miss Manners. Because Miss Manners would rip this lady a new one.
And Miss Manners changes every so often, doesn't she?
Yeah, there's three or four. They're all in the family.
Yeah.
It's Judith. I can't think of her last name, but then there's a couple other people that mm-hmm. that have the same last name.
Yeah.
It's like her daughter and something mm-hmm. else. So here's what Abby says. Your coworker isn't a mind reader. Okay. I get it. I would ask, don't you think maybe he's winding you up? But anyway, your coworker is not a mind reader. Dig deep. Find the courage to tell him that when he brings up the subject of killing animals, it upsets you, and ask him to please stop. That seems a little pat, but mm-hmm. okay. Now, here, listen to this. If he doesn't, bring it to the attention of your supervisor or HR, because it could be considered a form of harassment if it interferes with you doing your job. Are you kidding me? Now, what was funny was I read this. I pulled it off the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, underneath this, readers like you and I are mm-hmm. commenting. And they were like, what is she talking about? For one, there were several that I saw that said, don't bother, HR will laugh you out of the office. and the others were like, why is Abby not, why is she laying it on dude
mm-hmm.
and not helping this woman figure out why she's ill? I mean, this, we're laughing, but this is somebody that's not well.
Yeah.
Or has been raised in a culture where, and I don't hunt.
No.
And I'm an animal lover.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't particularly, you know, I don't, you know, if you want to go hunt and I eat some venison.
Yeah.
You bring me some venison, I eat some venison.
Deer jerky is my favorite.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, sport hunting and all that, yeah, I find it a little objectionable. I don't cry over roadkill.
Mm-hmm.
I work around a lot of hunters, obviously in my profession, especially being in a rural area,
mm-hmm.
a lot of my officer friends are, you know, for lack of a better expression, good old boys.
Yep.
So that's fine. But crying over roadkill and something is off with her.
You know what's funny, though, is like my reaction if I see a snake in the yard is I kill it. I mean, just natural reaction.
Yeah.
Because I've got kids and I don't want them. I don't care if it's a good snake or a bad snake or whatever. I know that's going to freak them out if they see it. So I could see the guy being like, yeah, I caught a snake in my backyard the other day. Had to get rid of it. And the lady just freaking out.
Oh, maybe that's what she's talking about.
Yeah.
I just find it too suspicious that in one paragraph she says, my mother taught me to love and respect all animals, and I've had snakes and turtles. And then in the next paragraph, she says, I have a coworker who talks about killing animals, especially snakes and turtles. Something's up. And when she says, well, I can't be seen crying at my desk, and I joke that she's probably been seen crying. I think this dude, now, of course, you might make the case that now he's being mean,
mm-hmm.
but it occurred to me that he's doing this.
Oh, I would be. Yeah. You've all had that.
This guy may have never hunted in his life.
Yeah, you've all had that person in your office that just drives you nuts, and you try to figure out ways to.
You do. Yeah. Now, you've got that streak in you. Don't you?
Yes.
You'll wind people up.
Yes. Yes, I do. I do have that. You know, there's some people that just take offense to everything.
Yeah.
And you have to just get your digs in with them any way you can where it's not like illegal or going to get you fired. And that's probably one of the,
I think that's what this guy's doing.
Yeah.
I think there's a little subterfuge there, and he's, every time he's doing it, you know, like he's sitting there looking at his friend or his coworker and he's going, yeah, how'd your weekend go? Bob, how was your big hunting trip? Man, I killed all kinds of snakes. I only bagged a few turtles, but it was a good snake hunting trip.
Yeah. Nobody goes on snake
hunting. And then he's like looking out his peripheral vision there at the side of his eye, looking over at her. Wait,
and she like pointing at her, you know, and like to his friend.
Oh, they're putting money on it. What's the over under on how quick she's going to run to the bathroom?
Yeah, exactly.
Or you know, he's going, hey, Jeff, come here. Listen, watch this. Just listen to what I say. Watch this one. She's going to get up and run to the bathroom. So I was killing some snakes and some turtles this weekend. And the guy's like, no way. He's like, anytime I want her gone, I just start. So, and two, there's not anything I don't think you would think was off about somebody for keeping pets. And even if you can excuse people for keeping or that want to have snakes and scorpions and all that kind of nonsense. But listen, this is somebody that says, I've had snakes and turtles and birds, other exotics, dogs and cats and rabbits. Does that seem off to you?
Yeah.
I mean, when have you ever had more than a dog or a cat? Maybe a couple of fish.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Who cycles through this many different animals? This lady's had a veritable zoo over the course of her
now,
life.
If you have kids, kids come in and out. Like, my kids wanted a guinea pig.
Right.
And, you know, I was like, okay, you know, we'll get a guinea pig. And then, you know, after a month, the guinea pig was old. You know, nobody wanted to feed the guinea pig. Nobody wanted to pick up after the guinea pig.
The newness wore off.
Yeah. So the guinea pig became a huge problem after that. And it's like, well, let's get fish. I can deal with fish. Fish tank.
Yeah, depending on what kind of fish you have. I mean, your standard run-of-the-mill, want them at a carnival in a Ziploc bag, goldfish, they don't last very long. But some of those, like your betta fish and stuff, those things can, they're near invincible. So what do you have? What kind of fish you have?
Well, I just got some more today, but I've got...
More fish.
I've got three goldfish in there. I've got a algae sucker. I've got a stick-looking algae sucker. I got four tiger fish today. They're like little fish. They're tiger striped.
Okay.
Got a clown fish like Nemo.
Yeah, Nemo, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've got two tetras, which are blue and green. And, oh, silver dollar fish, dollar bill. Dollar bill.
You got a nice variety there.
Yeah.
You got a big sampler pack.
Yeah.
And they all get along. They coexist. They don't, no fighting.
Well, now I am missing two fish currently, and I think they have fallen victim to the other fish, but that's what happened.
You think they killed them, or they just ate them after they died?
Well, usually they die and they pick up, they eat them after. That's just kind of circle of life stuff.
Gross. And don't make me want fish. Fish, and you think they're all so sweet and cute. They're nasty.
Yeah.
Well, that's the truth about anything. I mean, any of your pets that you think are cute or that you love. I mean, given the opportunity, if you were dead or something, they'd probably eat you.
Yeah, they'd probably eat you alive.
And on that note, we'll call it a day. Stick around in just a few days. We're going to have a quick turnaround. The Halloween show will be up. I don't know when I'll put it up. Maybe Sunday or Monday, first of the week. Anyway, we're going to biggie size your fries. You get two in a row back-to-back this week, relatively. But I didn't want to wait, like have an extended period just to get closer to Halloween. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't want to release it too early and then us have to do another, because then we would have had to do another show right before Halloween. So I figured we had a week. We'd come in here and crank one out and diagnose our election stress disorder. So now I got fish disorder, stress disorder. I'm gonna have nightmares. But
man, they're peaceful though when you watch them. Like if I'm doing homework or something late at night and I'm just wanting to chill out,
right,
you can watch them move back and forth.
Don't you think, would you, well, okay, I was gonna say, do you think maybe you'd get the same experience if you just had a nice blue aquarium with a little with a little bubbling water? I don't know.
No, I guess like you gotta go back and forth, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, we'll call it a day for today. I'm Pastor Dave, sitting with Randall the Armor Bearer. Stick around. Halloween show coming up in just a few days, first of the week. And we are
They That Believe.